The word today is Pergamum. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. Pergamum was the center for emperor worship in the ancient Roman Empire. Christians were ordered to bow to the emperor and worship him as a god, or be executed by the sword. Under those circumstances, Jesus spoke to these believers, telling them that his word is a sharp, double-edged sword. Here with more about what that means is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Pergamum.
As we're looking at the letters of Jesus in the book of Revelation to seven churches in a region called Asia Minor, we're now looking at the church of Pergamum, and this is in Revelation chapter 2, starting at verse 12. Here's how it reads. To the angel of the church in Pergamum write, "These are the words of him who has the sharp double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has its throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city, where Satan lives. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore. Otherwise, I will soon come to you, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it." As you can see with these letters from Jesus to these churches in the first century here, just to have a little context to this, these are the words of Christ who had risen from the dead, who ascended into heaven. This is the message sent by the Holy Spirit to John the Apostle as he was imprisoned on an island named Patmos. And Jesus has specific messages for each of these churches. You see that all of these messages are tailored specifically to that local congregation. This teaches us that all over the world, Christ knows intimately what the situation is in any group of believers, and that he is working, urging, encouraging, warning these Christians. It's important for us to understand what the message is for Jesus to each of these churches. He starts by referring to a sharp, double-edged sword. Now, this kind of sword was not just sharp on one side, but it had been sharpened on both edges so that it could cut in two directions, a more formidable weapon. The Romans had an interesting thing about the soldiers and the swords. In Romans chapter 13, there was a reference from Paul the Apostle to the fact that the government, that is, the Roman government, did not bear the sword for nothing, but in fact, it justifies capital punishment, that those who disobey the government should fear, because the government can retaliate with the sword. Of course, a sword is not used to tickle people. It's used to kill people. And so one of the things we learn is that the government has the right of retribution or judgment. It also has a right of capital punishment. And the Christian should obey the government, or else you will fear consequences from the government. Another thing about this double-edged sword is in Hebrews chapter 4. This is one of the letters in the New Testament, the letter to the Hebrews, that is the Jews. And it says, God's word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. In other words, God has his word, which is able to almost surgically operate on us. It is able to discern our thoughts, our intents, our desires. And God's word teaches us and instructs us very clearly, very accurately about the fact that we are sinners, the fact that we have disobeyed God and need to repent of our sin. But also it teaches us very clearly and distinctly that he has provided a redeemer, a savior in Jesus Christ, and that it is through the name of Jesus that your sins are forgiven and that you get the promise of life everlasting, a resurrection from the dead, a guarantee of being received as a child of God. I hope that you will look into this and that you will receive that message with joy, as people all over the world are. I just want to pause for a second and to say that the responses to the word today are phenomenal. We have people in so many different countries that are realizing what the word of God teaches them, that Jesus Christ is the world's Savior. And this is bringing such profound change in their lives, a beautiful new start. People are weeping because they know they're forgiven by God. They are overjoyed because they now realize that they can have eternal life in Jesus' name. It's just fantastic. And so in this church, back to the letter of Jesus to Pergamum, notice that it was a divided congregation. Some people were accepting worldliness. They were taking to practices of the pagans, of the individuals that were trying to bring some of this into the church. There is a discussion of people in the church in Pergamum who held to the teaching of Balaam. Balaam was an Old Testament prophet. He was not a prophet of the true God. He was a pagan prophet. He was hired by King Balak of the kingdom of Moab in order to curse the Jewish people. This is all worldliness. This is all wickedness that's being discussed when there is a mention of Balaam and Balak. And Jesus is warning this Christian church that they are adopting worldly practices and other spiritual practices that are corrupting them. This is a warning that many Christian groups need to hear today. There is altogether too much importing of paganism into Christian circles. Christ stands alone. Jesus is the world's only Savior. There is no mixing of other pagan rituals and ungodly practices, immorality and sexual deviancy, idolatry. There is no mixing of this with Christianity. If you're doing that, you better be watchful, because Christ is displeased with you. The Lord is not going to tolerate messing up and dirtying up the righteousness of Jesus Christ so that you can have some customs or rituals, or so that you can import some kind of pagan immorality. This is entirely unacceptable. You need to understand that Christ stands for righteousness and purity. Christ is totally sufficient for your salvation. You do not need to cling to rituals or to pagan practices. You come to Jesus Christ, and he is all in all. He is the first and the last, as he said to the church in Smyrna. Jesus Christ is not going to accept muddying up and messing up his church. So you need to repent of this if you're involved in those kind of activities, and come to Jesus through the Word of God, the Bible, and learn about purity and righteousness and how to properly conduct yourself as a Christian and as a church group. Jesus mentions to these people that he offers in verse 17, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And he says, he who overcomes would receive some hidden manna and also a white stone with a name that only he who received it would know. Manna was given by God in the wilderness. It was this kind of bread-like substance that the Israelites could eat in the wilderness, and it sustained them by miraculous provision from God the Father. And there was a tradition among the Jews that when Jerusalem was destroyed, Jeremiah took the jar of manna that had been preserved as a memorial to the Israelites, and he took this jar of manna and he hid it somewhere on Mount Sinai, and that when the Messiah would come, the jar would be retrieved. Now, this was a Jewish tradition. We don't have any record of Jesus ever going to Mount Sinai and getting a jar filled with manna. But the thought here was that God was providing for his people, and just as he had done in the past, so also the Lord would provide for these Christians if they held to him and received him and repented of their sin. Something about the white stone. When juries were making a judgment and casting their votes, they used white and black stones to indicate whether someone was white innocent or black guilty. Well, the white stone being given to the Christian would be a symbol of them being pronounced innocent because of the merits of Jesus Christ, because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Don't mix any kind of paganism in your life. Don't try to incorporate worldliness. Stay pure. Stay committed to Jesus Christ. Receive him as Lord. He is the one with the double-edged sword. God's word will lead you to judgment for your sin, but also forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Come to the Lord Jesus. Be pure in heart. Keep your fellowship sweet and innocent, and receive the blessing of Jesus that you will be pronounced innocent.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.